One of the most common areas where shaylot arise with regard to a chatzitza, that's the foot of tevilah, is with regard to chatzitzot, potential barriers in the mouth. Now, the Gemara tells us that what we call beit hastarim, concealed areas of the body, there's no need for the water to actually enter those parts of the body, but nevertheless, they need to be ra'ui lebi'at mayim. They need to be suitable that if water were to come into the mouth or this closed, concealed area, that the water could come into contact with all areas of that part of the body. So, therefore, even though water doesn't need to come into the mouth, nevertheless, it needs to be able to access all areas of the mouth if it were to enter. That's so before a person goes to mikveh, they need to clean their teeth thoroughly and make sure that there's nothing caught there. That's in actual fact, the Shulchan Aruch brings a minhag that women don't eat meat on the day that they're going to go to mikveh because of a concern that bits of the meat might get caught in between their teeth and be difficult to extract it. That's this includes both red meat and also chicken and poultry. That and brought down in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that even minced meat they shouldn't eat, even though there's much less of a chance with minced meat that bits will get caught between the teeth. An exception to this minhag is on Shabbat and Yom Tov and at a Seudat Mitzvah, where they are allowed to eat meat, but they just need to make sure they clean their teeth thoroughly afterwards. And obviously, if a woman without remembering ate meat, that's on a day that she's going to mikveh, so that wouldn't matter. And again, she just needs to take extra care cleaning her teeth. Sometimes women will have false teeth, and they constitute a chatzitza, seeing as the intention is to take them out every night. They're regarded as miut umakpid, because it's a small part of the body, but she is particular not to have them in her mouth at all times. That's permanent dentures or bridges or braces and fillings are not a problem, but a big question comes up with regard to temporary fillings that are put in the teeth in the process of dental work and are going to be removed at some stage in the future. And there we have a whole range of different views. That's one end of the spectrum. We have the view of the Badei HaShulchan, which is that temporary fillings are a problem because the intention is to ultimately remove them. That the Avnei Nezer is the opinion that provided they're meant to be there for 6 months, so then it's regarded as essentially being permanent. It's permanent for 6 months, but permanent doesn't mean to say it's going to stay there absolutely forever, and therefore only if it's there for 6 months or longer, it wouldn't be a problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman was of the opinion that really a woman shouldn't immerse that unless the filling is going to be there for at least 30 days, and that gives it a degree of permanence. But Bishat HaDachak, he ruled that, as did the Minchat Yitzchak, that provided it's going to be there for 7 days, then one can be lenient. As a general principle, in actual fact, though, that's Rav Moshe Feinstein, that, and also Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi, were of the opinion that temporary fillings aren't a problem at all. That Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank particularly took the logic to say that, generally speaking, a temporary filling is there because it's then going to be replaced with a permanent filling. So even though this particular filling isn't going to be there forever, her tooth is going to be covered on a permanent basis, and therefore it's the fact that this one's going to be removed doesn't matter. There's always going to be something there, and therefore this is just part of an ongoing continuous covering of the tooth, and therefore it's by definition miut she'ein or makpid, a small covering which the person that isn't bothered about. That's in general, that's where possible we try and avoid any questions. So if a woman's due to have the filling removed the day after she's planning on going to mikveh, then it might be correct to delay the tefillah by a day, or if she's got a filling schedule to be put in that on the day before she goes to mikveh, then it would be ideal to delay putting the filling in. But if there aren't any easy alternatives, then the minhag is to be lenient, like Rav Moshe Feinstein and like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Another question that comes up with regard to the mouth is with regard to lipstick, and that's like all other cosmetics, that lechatchila should certainly be removed before tefillah. If it's not going to be removed before tefillah, and this can sometimes be the case on a Friday night, a woman's going to the mikvah on Friday night, she wants to have makeup on for Shabbat, so she'll want to put her makeup on before going to the mikvah, so long as it looks good and neat, then there's good grounds to say that it shouldn't be considered a chatzitza. That's partly because it's something that she wants and only covers a small part of the body, partly but that won't help according to the custom mentioned in Seif Aleph, that really that women should make sure there's no chatzitza at all, even if it's small and doesn't bother them. But also the consideration we mentioned previously, that it becomes actually part of her body, and also the consideration that if it can't be felt distinctly on the body, then it's not a problem of a chatzitza at all. Ad kan.